And for the next number of Sundays, I'm going to be working with you in the book of James. Why James? Because James is just full of all kinds of practical application. You know, we can read the Word of God and study the Word of God and appreciate the Word of God. We can do all that, but you know what? If we're not making the Word of God practical in our lives, then it's just words on a page. So we need to make God's Word practical in our lives. And you just said, right? This is the Word of God for the people of God. And if this is the Word of God for you and for me, then we need to make the Word of God practical in our lives. And we need to share the Word of God wherever we go, whatever we do. Now, James says, consider it all. James chapter 1 and verse 2. Consider it pure joy whenever you experience various trials. Now, how many of you ever experienced trials? Yeah. You certainly have, haven't you? Right? And we all have. And so, you know, we got to scratch our head here and say, James, inspired by the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, what do you mean when you say, consider it all joy? What is joyful about trials? What is joyful about it? I know when I was a young man, that was very, very puzzling. I believed it, but it was like, I don't know what that means. So we're going to talk about what that means this morning. Why are trials pure joy? Well, trials are tests. And how many of you ever taken any tests? Yeah, all of us have. Now, I may embarrass some of you, I don't know, but how many of you have ever failed a test? Whoa, yeah, okay, all right. Renee, did your hand go up? I just wondering, okay. Yeah, we all have all failed tests. I remember one time, winter Hebrew I had in seminary. And I went through one hellacious business meeting. I love to preach and love to pastor and so forth, but I hate business meetings. You hate business meetings? I hate business meetings. I just hate it. Just let me do what God has called me to do and preach. Yeah, but business meetings, right, are a part of it. And we had one hellacious business meeting, I remember, when I was in the midst of seminary, and it was during winter Hebrew, and I was up, the meeting actually, thank God our meetings don't go like this, but the meeting went until 3 a.m. Yeah. And so I tried to go to sleep, and I couldn't because I had to study for an exam that was 8 o'clock the next morning, and so I didn't sleep, and did an all-nighter with the few hours that remained. And I went in, and it was a three-hour exam, and it was a pass or fail. And I had to pass it in order to get my degree. That was a requirement. And so I went in and sat down, and, you know, the test was given. And I stared at the test, and I'm there, man, I just drew a blank. Has that ever happened to any of you?
Oh, amen.
Yeah, has it? Really?
I was in college, you know.
Yeah.
Social stuff. Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah, and I just sat and I looked at it, and I'm there. I froze. I couldn't remember anything. Now I have an excuse. I'm an old man. But then I was young, but I just couldn't remember. And so I sat there, and I sat there, and I sat there, and an hour went by. And then 2 hours went by, and the only thing I had on it was my name. And then there were these brilliant students, you know, that walked up, here you go, and they're smiling on their face, right? And I'm there, oh, man. And so by the time the third hour came around, I'm the only one sitting there. And I went up to the professor, and I said, you're going to have to. And he said, Al, what's the matter? And I said, well, I had this hellacious business meeting. And, you know, it was just very stressful, to say the least, I guess I'll say. And I was up all night, and I just can't remember. And, you know, we got new banners on the wall here. You notice that? And I love these banners. These are great. And one of them says grace, right? And if it wasn't for God's grace, I probably wouldn't be here right now with a seminary degree. Because the prof says to me, Al, follow me. And I still remember his name. His name was Al Groves. And he was the Hebrew teacher at Westminster Seminary. And he says, follow me to my office. So I started following him to his office, and he says to me, Al, what does the Hebrew verb do when it's in this used in this particular way? And I answered him. And then he continued to quiz me as we were walking down the hall, and then we sat at his desk, and he quizzed me for about another 10 minutes. And why am I getting emotional? I don't know. Because of grace, right? He took my paper and he says, sounds like a C to me. And he gave me a C, you know? Because I knew the material. I just blanked out.
That's what I got.
Yeah. See?
I got the same thing.
Yeah, there you go.
But he didn't walk me through it. I felt so bad. Everybody was coming through the front and I was last man standing.
So you didn't earn it, per se, but anyway.
Yeah.
But anyway, tests are trials. And that was the most memorable test that I ever took. But, you know, I did take tests where I got 100. Anybody get 100 on a test? Not every hand went up, right? But what's it feel like to get 100 on it? What's it feel like to get 100 on a test? Good, yeah. It feels wonderful. You know, wow, man, you know, I know this, right? I got it, right? And so trials are tests. And God has a purpose for our trials. And what's the purpose? The purpose of testing is the working of our faith. Now, tests help us discover what areas of our faith and life need work. Does your faith need work?
Amen.
Yeah. Does my faith need work? Oh, yeah. You know? Yeah. And I got to tell you that many of you are great examples to me. You know, Bob Pratt, when I was visiting Bob Pratt, you know, I was, because here he was, suffering an enormous amount of pain. Couldn't even stand up. Couldn't even eat. And yet he was testifying to his faith in the Lord Jesus. And I just pray that someday when I'm put in that particular situation, I will have that kind of faith. And I don't know if I have that kind of faith right now. Ooh, you're the pastor. I'm just being honest with you. Right? My faith needs work. And your faith needs work. Right? And so these tests are to discover what areas in our life need work. Now, tests detect failures or defects so they can be what?
Corrected.
Corrected. See? Now, what my Hebrew professor did with me was, you know, see what happens when, you know, you're under stress and you're not focused on what you need to be focused on. You see what can happen, right? And the things in our lives, causes of faith failures, and this is big. Fear. You know, was I afraid that when I took that test and didn't put anything down, was I afraid? Yeah. I'm afraid I'm going to fail, right? And for all intents and purposes, I did when I handed the paper in, right? But fear, many, many times in our faith, we're afraid. What if God calls upon me to suffer for his name's sake? What if he calls upon me to suffer? And you know, I don't know about you, but I'm a chicken. Okay? I don't want to suffer. Do you want to suffer? I don't want to suffer. But I'm afraid that one day I'm getting to be an old man, right? One day God's going to call upon me to suffer. Amen. And I'm kind of afraid of that, honestly. You know? You might think, well, you know, pastors shouldn't be afraid. Joe, you knew I was coming to you, didn't you? Are you afraid of what the future holds?
No.
Why not?
I have faith.
You have faith. In what?
In God. Mm-hmm. He promised me that he wouldn't give me any more money than him.
You're ahead of me here in this sermon. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Joe has had some difficult news with some tests he had lately. And we need to pray for Joe. I love your brother.
Mm-hmm. I love
you. And we all love you. And he's going through some difficult times. But you heard what he said. Now, how did you get to a place where you don't fear? How'd you get there?
Faith is grace.
Yeah. And it's continuing to put into practice what we believe. Persevere, right? How about false information? You ever been given any false information and you're there, well, you know, in Sunday school, I'm always talking about Sunday school. If you're not coming to Sunday school, you're missing out, man. You really are. But one of the things that he talks about is truth. Truth, 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 truth. And there's a lot of faults in it. Can you believe the news?
No.
You can believe the internet, though, right? Because whatever's on the internet is true. And you're all laughing, right? False information can be a real problem to our faith.
It's everywhere.
You know? Failure to recall the power of God. Who is God? Is he all powerful?
Amen.
Yes, he is.
Sure is.
Right? Failure to see the blessings of God. And Joe, I think that's one thing you see, right? God is... I know in the men's breakfast, he said to me, God has been so good to me, right? God has blessed me, right? But if we don't remember those blessings, then our faith is going to waver. That's why the writer of the song wrote, count your many blessings, right? Name them even one by one, because they remind us of who God is. Focus, another failure is focusing on the problem. Focusing on the problem rather than on God himself. Because it's pretty easy to do that, especially when we're very ill. Especially when we don't feel like eating. We don't feel like getting up in the morning. We don't feel like doing much of anything. Right? It's so easy to focus on the problem that we're experiencing, whether it's a health problem or whatever it is. Last night, my dog ate something. I don't know what he ate, but he barfed up in the middle of the night. And so I went to let him out and let him out. Comes back in. So this time I put him up on the bed with me, and he paced back and forth. And I'm there, oh, Lord, I just want some sleep, right? You know, it's so easy to, you know, when things are going on like that, right, to focus on what's happening right there rather than on, you know what, God? Sunday morning is a morning we can all gather and worship you. And that's really what it's all about. It's not about my dog, right? Focusing on the obstacle or the problem rather than God himself. Now, overcoming failure and defects. How do we overcome these things? Fear, and Joe said this. Did you look at my slides before? No, because this, he knows the word of God. It's right out of the word of God. Fear dissipates with what? Faith. Faith. With faith, fear disappears. You know? Fear disappears. Have you ever been afraid of something and turn around and it's gone? I remember one time I was being followed by something. I don't remember exactly what it was. But there was this huge shadow that was behind me and I could see it. And I'm like, what is that? What is that? Right? It looked huge. And so what did I do? I turned around. You know what it was? It was a cat. Harmless, right? Then I wasn't afraid anymore, see? When we face our fear with faith, and that's the only thing you can do with fear, people, you got to look at it. You got to face it. You got to run to it and say, you know what? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world and whatever fear exists out there. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Loss of control. How many of you are control freaks? Oh, come on. How many are afraid to admit you're a control freak? You know, we are. All right. How many of you are control freaks? Raise your hand. All right. Now, I want you to look around. Keep your hands raised. I want you to look around and see the hands that are not raised. That's what true denial looks like. Okay? That's what it looks like. Because we are all control freaks. We really are. And I'm ahead of you in the line. You're supposed to be quiet during these. Loss of control. We all want control. But you know what? When we remember that God is the one in charge. He's the one in charge. We're not. And you know, we think that we are in control of what happens today. Was I in control of what happened last night with my dog? No. Thought I was, you know, he always sleeps and, you know, he's a good boy and all that. And God says, oh, really? Huh? Yeah, pulls the carpet right out from underneath me, right? We think we're in control. But you know what? Control, I call it smoke and mirrors, right? It's an illusion. It's an illusion. You think you're in control? God's got to be shaking his head if you really think you're in control. Because God is the one that determines what's going to happen to you even as you leave these doors. Amen. Even as you face this new week. Even as you face this new year. God is in control. And we need to remember that. And you know what else we need to remember? That no matter what, God is a good God.
Amen.
Boy, everybody ought to be saying amen to that. Is he a good God or not? Do you believe that?
Amen.
Amen, yeah. God is a good God no matter what. as I was speaking with the Lima family, and Ryan was telling me about his mom and what his mom believed. Right? God is a good God. She knew that. Right? Do you know that?
Absolutely.
That God is a good God.
Absolutely.
And he's the one in charge. You're not. The unknown becomes known when we ask for God's wisdom. Do you know what's going to happen with all the treatments that you're going to get, Joe?
Nope.
Nope.
Don't matter.
Why? God's in control, right? And the unknown becomes known when we ask for God's wisdom. You know, James, and next week I'm going to be talking about this, even when Michael Lyle is going to be here. but, you know, knowledge comes from books. You know, you study for a test or whatever, and once you know the material, you know, it comes from books. But wisdom, can you get wisdom from books?
Yeah.
Not really, no. Wisdom only comes from God. And that's why James says, if anyone lacks wisdom, you know, you know, we might know the Word of God, or we think we know the Word of God, but then what happens when there's a situation that comes along? What do we do? You ever ask yourself that question? What do I do? What do I do?
You should go to God first all the time.
Yeah.
Any decision, go to Him first.
Yeah. I was sharing with Deb the other day. I said, you know, many times I feel like Moses. I probably shouldn't say this, but I feel like Moses because I throw up my hand and say, okay, God, what are you going to do with these people? Right? I love you. And sometimes you're probably saying, what are we going to do with this pastor, right? But, you know, I pray for wisdom. God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. You all think I know what to do? No, I don't know what to do. And every Sunday morning, I get up early and I go through the message and I say, God, I don't know what you're going to do, but give me wisdom. Speak to me. Send your Holy Spirit to speak through me. Give me wisdom. And you know what James says? If any man lacks for wisdom, let him ask of God, and God is going to give generously without scolding. Isn't that cool? Right? Isn't that cool? You can tell I've been around for generations when I use words like cool, right? But I think that's cool. I really do, right? Wisdom, we can ask, and God says, I'm going to give it to you. Now, what are you going to do in the future, Franklin Hill? What are you going to do in the future? Who's going to be your pastor when I'm not here any longer, right? What chapter and verse are you going to go to in the Bible where it says, this is what God wants for Franklin Hill? Where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? Where is Franklin Hill mentioned in the scripture? It's not, is it? Right? But I'm going to encourage you as we move forward in this new year. Lord, give me a teachable spirit. Give me an open heart. And give us wisdom. Give us wisdom. And I'm going to challenge all of you to pray that prayer. Lord, give us wisdom. Give our church wisdom as we move forward. Give us wisdom because we need it. And God's going to say, okay, here you go. And he's going to give you wisdom. And he's going to guide you. And he's going to direct you. And decisions are going to be made. And when you make a decision, after you ask for God's wisdom, you don't second guess it. Because you ask God for wisdom. He gives it to you, and you're like, oh, man, I don't know what I'm going to do now. What? You just asked God for wisdom, and he guided you. You weighed the pros and the cons, and you talked it over, and you voted and whatever. Then you don't question it anymore. It's done. You asked God. He gave it to you. End of story. Pour the tea. It's over. Excuse me for getting excited about God's word. No, I don't. Focusing on the problem can be replaced with the promises of God. And one of the things that Lewis and Ryan said to me, please speak about the promises of God. Isn't that what you said to me? Yeah. Why did you say that?
I found it to be comforting in during this trying time.
Yeah, God's word comforts us. His promises comfort us. And are you comforted by God's promises?
Yes.
Yeah. God's promises, and that family knows, because God is comforting them right now. And so focusing on the problem is replaced when we claim God's promises. I'm trying to hurry here. We had a full day, a full service, so I'm hurrying here. But trials produce endurance, steadfastness, and perseverance. And that makes our faith very, very, very strong. Very strong. When we persevere, no matter what, no matter what comes, it's in God's hands. To endure, to remain steadfast, and to persevere. The endurance and perseverance of our faith is, it says in James chapter 1, verse 3 through 4, the endurance and perseverance of our faith is the full effect that brings, now the translations say perfect, and I'm going to say, and I can do this because I did study Hebrew many, many moons ago, and I still remember. Complete means mature. A better translation is mature, right? So that full effect brings us to perfection? No, none of us are perfect. But it can bring us to maturity. We can grow up, right? And many times, I feel like saying to whoever it might be, grow up, right? This is silly nonsense. What we're arguing about or talking about or whatever, silly, silly nonsense. Grow up, right? The endurance and perseverance of our faith is what it's all about, right? And that brings us to maturity. Adults. And when that happens, we lack nothing. And these tests, right, bring us to a point where Bob Pratt, right, where he said, you know what? Here I am. God, whatever. Whatever it is, here I am. I'm ready. He lacked nothing. Nothing. And I know Bob Pratt heard this. Well done, good and faithful servant. Bob didn't get 100 on his test until his last breath. Then he got 100. And that's what it is, people. We're not perfect. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. And I don't know what percentage we are in terms of what grade we would give ourselves, but it's not going to be 100% until we breathe our last breath. God says, okay, there you are. That's what I want to bring you to, right? Where you trust in me. Now it's full. Now it's complete. Now you're mature. Come on in. If we know the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together around the Word. Thank you for James and for understanding what he meant when he said, consider it all joy. Because joy doesn't depend upon circumstances. Happiness might, but joy doesn't. Joy is a state of our heart. It's where we find rest, peace, because of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Knowing a God that is in charge of all things. Now we can say, yeah, I have that. And that's reason to be joyful. And we thank you for that promise. And we thank you for this time this morning. We pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.